welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only, the Human Turret, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for the world champ himself, Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. Give it up for some of the best analysis in the game, world champ himself, Christopher Duarte, a.k.a. Parasite. We got the one and only, the multi-world champion, the multi-champion legend icon to the Call of Duty space. Give it up for Patrick Price Eggs. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank. Give it up for Benjay Nassim. Gentlemen, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing? Two matches today. Very, very quick day. I think it was like a two-hour day or something. How you guys feeling, man? Ben, we'll start with you. How you doing?
Woke up this morning. My friend texted me. He's like, yo, you want to play golf? So I was like, oh, I guess I'll do a golf stream today. So I did that. Then obviously I went and watched one match with y'all. And then I went over. It was my friend Ethan's last day at his job. So yeah, I went over to his office. We hung out, had a party, came back, played pro clubs, and now I'm here. That's been my whole day.
Nice, man. Good. It's good. It's a good day. What about you, Pat? Yep. How you doing? You doing all right? How's X Defiant going?
I'm doing great, Tom. But I got to ask, and I'm going to request this on behalf of the whole panel here, Tom.
Yep.
And the chat.
Yeah, of course.
I believe that's a green screen behind you, and unless you get on the bed, we're not going to believe
Pat,
otherwise.
It's not a green screen. Pat. Oh, shit. Whoa. Pat, look. It ain't no green screen. Look.
That's an interactive one, Tom. You got like a blanket over the green screen.
What? Now you tripping, Pat. You tripping. Yeah, for those of you that don't know what's going on, basically my internet at my place is just not working right now. I had technicians come out throughout the week. They can't figure out the problem is now they're in the streets. They're doing construction in the street. They think it's coming from the pole out in the streets. So, I've been at a lot of different locations, man, between phase off. You'll probably see me at the phase office throughout the weekend. And right now I'm at my girlfriend's, setup right now. So hopefully everything works. I opened up Google Chrome before the whole PC blew up. So hopefully we can get through some clips today without any problems happening. But I do appreciate everybody who's tuned in and has been bearing with me with all the problems we've been having. But, you know, we've got it all figured out. Duarte, how you doing? You doing all right? Duarte?
Good talk.
Is he there?
My mic was muted.
I'm here. Doing good. Both LA teams got a W on the board today. LAG got one, finally. Those guys were freaking ass, but
damn,
my boy Flames, he came out and put on an absolute show, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, Flames came out today for a debut and had one of the craziest days ever. We'll get there, but Sam, how are you doing? You doing all right, Sam?
Doing great, man. Good Call of Duty today, LAT, masterclass. Then I watched you cost me in some party games, and
Sam,
now we're here.
I did not cost you the Pico part,
I watched
bro.
You cost me okay. Blatantly in party games, yeah. And now we're here.
And now we're here, ladies and gentlemen, live with another episode of The Flank. We're going to get into the two matches today. One thing a few people were bringing up before the show started. Ben, I know Hector had made some comments about the Optic Major, which, again, yeah. I still think that a lot of this is being drawn out of proportion. I think a lot of people are they're kind of just talking out of their ass here. But, Ben, what happened? What did Hector say? People wanted us to talk about what Hector said, but from my knowledge, Hector pretty much said what we already knew. Right?
Well, kind of. So Hector said that once the Carolina Major 4 situation sort of broke down, a.k.a. Carolina wasn't going to host the event, there was some conversation that Optic would, you know, get involved with Major 4 and maybe do Major 4 in Champs. I've kind of asked around about it, and I've gotten kind of a mixed response. So I think this is one of those where the truth is in the middle, and I don't really know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something like once Carolina was able to host the event, they asked their teams if they want to host or not. And I think none of them really put forward like a serious enough bid that it really got to like the serious level of checking in on whether or not it was going to happen. Hector did also say that the Optic Champs is not really an Optic Champs. It's a champs really presented by Optic. So it's not going to have like false Optic branding inside. Like they're hosting, they're presenting the event, but it's going to be a neutral champs event. So I'll check a bit more of it, and if I get more information, I'll let you guys know, but that's just kind of where I'm at with the right now.
Yeah, sounds like he's doing him a favor by hosting the event. Sounds like they needed him. At least that's kind of like how I feel about it.
There were other potential options for champs this year, but I don't have it locked down enough to just start leaking shit on stream. I'll just say that. Okay. I think eventually it may come out.
Okay, well, let's move on. Unless anybody else got anything to say on that, I say we hop right into the two matches today. First match of the day, we had the Los Angeles Thieves going up against the Carolina Royal Ravens. This was a fantastic series. Went all the way down to a fifth map. We'll scroll down, take a look at the stat sheet here. Very back and forth series here. Sam, we'll start off with you. This is your squad. It's the LA Thieves. You love these guys. Sam, you were saying that LA Thieves is the top five team of the game. Go ahead. What did you think about the series?
It was a great win. There was some alleged ping cheese in this series. I think Tej had a tweet about it. And then I think Clay also tweeted a scoreboard about it. But the Royal Ravens were not excited about the alleged ping cheese in this series. But LAT kind of took care of business today, improving their game 5 record to 6-1 now. And kind of solidifying a really good 6-star hardpoint map. We've seen them play it a handful of times now. And that is definitely starting to look like a little bit of a bread and butter. So teams might have to start looking out for that. But the reason for my slightly outlandish claim is that these guys really don't lose to anyone that isn't in the top four. They usually, since the roster change and over the last couple of series, have looked really good, man. Since the addition of Joe, they're 3-0 now. Their hard points looked really, really good. Joe's been fucking nuts for these guys. Nasty had an incredible series today. He's someone that we've been looking for to step up a little bit, and he absolutely did so today. Granted, a couple trolls in the control, but yeah, man, they just look fucking good all around. I wish their series didn't go 5 every time, but having some ice in a league that has zero consistency is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Duarte, what did you think about the series? It was obviously a nail-biter. Went all the way down to the wire. LA Thieves with a comfortable last couple maps, I will say. But what did you think?
Yeah. LAT looks solid. They just absolutely beat down on them in both hard points. The final S&D, obviously. They just got the ice. But ping cheese aside, man, like, I don't know, the Royal Ravens, they just sounded freaking dead today. Like, they're listening on that. On that a 6-star hard point, it just felt like they had no intensity. Their small talk was off, and it was just completely different than the listening we got before. So I don't know what was going on with them. Maybe they were just in a bad mood. Maybe they just were demoralized because of the ping, and I don't know. It's unacceptable, I guess, right, to, like, obviously have that mentality in game. And sometimes you can't prevent it, but at the end of the day, bro, like, they just were – didn't seem like they were in a good mood. It kind of sucked.
Yep. Chris, watch that background noise. I know you know how to fix it.
The worst part about that, Chris, is like if they were down 1-2, kind of demoralized because they were getting blasted map 4 as a closeout. Like, I can understand it. But like, we went to that listening. It was pretty much a tied game after a pull hill halfway through a map 4 where they had won map 3 in a round 5 fashion, and then a map 2 pretty convincingly on Rio. Like, the momentum was on their side. They didn't sound like they had any momentum, and I'm surprised with a team that has the experience of TJ, the experience of Clay, and the experience of Fellow is so, like, momentum-based and so emotionally strong in situations like this.
I think it was the ping. I think they lost composure about the ping. They probably just lost. Which shouldn't happen. I mean, you shouldn't never
shouldn't
lose.
Happen, but like, put that aside, and you're up 2-1 in the series. Lock in, you already won a respawn this series. Mm-hmm. The map before. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, it's not an ideal situation. No one's going to sit here and say no, but, like, they have enough experience and enough been in this situation before. They should be able to find a way to close this out.
Yeah, Pat, what did you think about the series? Went all the way down to the wire. Carolina, they went a search and a control, but they were not getting it done in the kill department on hardpoint. Where's your head at?
So, the one thing I want to say about the ping cheese is, and we talked, this goes back to when team houses started to happen in COD. But when teams scrim all day and get very used to being on the same connection, the same, like, ping, the same, variation, and then you play a series where the team is across the world and you're on a server that is not ever going to be fair in any scenario, I do think is important enough to bring up. You know, whether that be the main excuse or whatever, or not the reason they lost, is kind of irrelevant to me because I think that's just an actual... Like, that's just a fact, right? When the ping is that different and you're used to playing on a certain thing, it's going to affect you at the end of the day. So I personally think LA Thieves is the better team. I agree with Sam. I think, they beat majority of the non-top four guys. But I do think it's annoying that we're still on to the ping bullshit still.
I will say that usually there's, like, the ping tool that raises everyone's ping or lowers their ping, or not lowers, but raises everyone's ping to be even, and I don't think it was working properly or something, because the pings were actually different Most of the time, like, the pings will read the same or, like, relatively close to each other. So because of the ping optimization tool or whatever, the latency. But this time they didn't. So, and for those of you guys that are saying that the 20 ping is not a big difference, it's a huge difference.
Your mic got super quiet, by the way, Chris, like, randomly.
Oh, sorry. Let me just put it close to my mouth. But the ping is a big difference to anybody that plays any competitive gaming or anybody that's played for a long time, especially in games nowadays with higher TTK. 20 ping is a fuck ton. It's going to make a big difference. So
somebody in the chat said it's a 20 ping difference. It's not that big of a deal, brother. When you're playing the best players in the world, you notice the little tiny differences. Like, that shit matters for sure. Everybody, yeah, when we're in a league like this, this is a professional league. Everybody should be on an even playing field here. Nobody should have, even if it was just 10 ping, nobody should have a 10 more ping than somebody.
Especially when it's a whole squad, right? It's like 100%. Four guys on 40 and four guys on 60. Like, that's a big difference. I
mean, this is just from my personal experience playing ranked play, but there's times where, like, I'll play people that I'm on, like, let's say I play on a Dallas server. I ping like 11, and I'll play a guy that is on 2 ping because he's in Dallas. And the difference is absurd. It feels like they're walking on water. So it literally, it makes a huge difference. And that's just my personal experience. Obviously, I can't say that for everybody else. But I'm sure they probably share the same sentiment. So assuming the ping tool was not working, I mean, they got screwed. I mean, it was still a good match out of Thieves. You can't take that away from them. But that's,
I have sources close to the series saying the ping tool was in fact working.
Yeah, here's my take. Look on there. I get it, guys. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's frustrating for me that this Carolina team was up 2-1. And by the way, the six-star hardpoint after that first rotation was basically tied going that first hill.
Once they started listening, it was chalked.
Yeah. When we let the listening, they broke down like mid-map. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Sure, you lose a couple of gunfights, but fall back on your experience. Fall back on the being there and not getting nervous. Lock in. Rotate a team, play off a team, and find a way to win the map. They'd already won respawn against Thieves like literally 10 minutes prior. So that's, I think, my frustration.
Yeah, we'll get there. We do got clips. Go ahead, Chris. We do got clips.
Do you have the listen in? Like, is that one of the clips?
Yep, it is one of the clips.
Chat, when you guys listen to this listen in, which we'll talk about in a sec, notice how, regardless of how frustrated they sound, notice how there were so many times a player on their team was caught by surprise. And I'll tell you why. Their small talk was terrible. They were leaving gaps open, and people were literally getting caught off guard because they just had assumptions that people were watching things. Just listen to it. You'll see what I mean. Ping cheese aside, they were not communicating their best, and it showed in their gameplay.
They got outplayed on that map. We're not chalking that shit up to ping cheese.
Well, yeah, of course. That's why I'm saying, like, there was other
things. They got outplayed and broke on every fucking hill. That ain't ping.
I never once said that they lost because of ping, but it is ridiculous.
No, I'm just saying, like,
it
if anyone's going to draw that conclusion, that's not...
I agree. Let's hop into some clips and take a look. The first clip that I have for you guys here is on the second P2. I thought this was a really big break for LA Thieves. And just to see how they were able to do it. I mean, I don't know if you guys see something wrong with Carolina's setup, but LA Thieves, they kind of just waltz through front. And they're able to work some trades. It starts with Clay. He goes down. Nasty finds a trade there. Fellow gets smoked out of the hill. Which, by the way, Tyler did have a great series today. I mean, individually. Like, I felt like he was doing his thing, but... an easy break here for the LA Thieves. I think, me personally, I just think they can't overchow on Hill.
It's just Tyler.
Yeah, they can't overchow on Hill. Yeah. I do like the way Thieves use their numbers here. And I don't know how I felt too much about Gwyn being pushed out, but this should have worked realistically if Tyler didn't die in Hill, I think. But what do you guys think?
I mean, they were trading efficiently. And then Tyler dying out of the hill pretty much threw off everything because they had, I think, three had the cross like from bus and things like that. So they could at least get back into the play, like flood over dumpster without having a gunfight. But once Tyler dies, the whole setup's fucked. He just overchowed as well.
I don't even think it's necessarily an overchow. I think Tyler had a good angle. He literally had the guy one shot. He just lost the fight because he got slammed. But
yeah, but that
also,
gunfight doesn't do anything for you, though. Like, Tyler killing that, like, him killing that guy doesn't do anything.
He also pop-up, Nasty kind of pop-up glitched him. It's like the one pump. So, like, that one pump probably made him miss and eventually broke the hill. But, I mean, it was just a good trade
sequence. Good shots from Nasty, though.
Yeah, it was a one-man mistake.
Yeah, hey, if they don't break this, his game could have looked a lot different. I mean, that's a hole that I think Carolina is going to go back and look at and feel like they should have had that. We also had a listen in here from the LA Thieves. I think we should tune in because we could compare it to the Carolina listen in. Let's tune in to the Los Angeles Thieves here in the map number one.
He's going bust. He's on curve. We're gonna spawn out, boys.
Turn down.
I'm in the back.
And that's gonna do it for the listening for the Los Angeles Thieves. I thought they sounded pretty good. I like the energy. Good energy there. And it was a great break on that P3 towards the halfway through that listening. They needed that break there. Carolina can't hold a fucking hill, bro.
Nope.
I feel like when Carolina gets kills too, they don't do anything with them. Like, it just seems so easy, bro. P3's a money hill. They shouldn't just be able to waltz in like that. I felt like they looked a little trolly. What did you guys think about the listening? What'd you think?
I think they sounded good, but I also want to tip LA Thieves on like how they were reading those like split spawns. Like, I think Nasty ended up spawning bridge, and he called out to his teammates that this guy's going to get a bus spawn. He spawned bus, exactly how Nasty said it, and then they played for him. They got that kill, and then they just basically collapsed on the hill in a 4v3 scenario. So good reads, good communication, good small talk. They were trying to execute plans. I mean, they all were contributing there, which is the polar opposite of what we're going to listen to with... Yeah. The Ravens.
And then we get to the end tier. This is the P5. So I have it paused here. You can see how Carolina's setting up the break here. I mean, this is their opportunity now to break this hill and try and make a little comeback here. They're only down by 30, so a break here would have been big. I'm going to let it play out here. It almost looked like Carolina was in for the break here. And then they weren't. So there's one from Tyler. Gwyn put some shots down into Dan. Joe wins one front but gets traded. So right here, 3v2 situation. Just don't know what happened there. I don't know if you guys could kind of pinpoint. I felt like Ravens, they had it for a second, but it was just good good plays from Dan to one stay alive. And then also from the guy on Hill, Nasty, just playing his life. He was able to stay alive and get a couple kills here too. Him killing this guy front was such a big kill because if he dies front, this is all over. So I just think Nasty and Ghosty went big here on this rotation. I thought Carolina should have maybe broke this, but big plays from Dan and Nasty. What do you guys think?
I think it was everyone making a play, to be honest. Joe getting one front, even though he got traded instantly, was also big. That means Byron could have a 1v1 to make the play that he did instead of a 2v1. And then Dan playing his life. I think it was a combination of pretty much everybody. They all made plays individually there.
Yeah. Did Gwyn straight? Was that a pistol? He didn't strafe out with a pistol, did he?
Oh,
no. Or, yeah, he might have had an AR in his hand. I don't know. It looked like he had a pistol in his hand. But, I don't know. Carolina, they had the numbers. They did a good job initially. But just great plays from Dan and Nasty. Them winning that 2v3 there pretty much won them this map because it got a little scary. Carolina did take good routes here. Like, pausing it initially, like, I liked how they were setting it up and how they were trying to break it. But, unfortunately for them, LA Thieves, they 2v3 it, and they go on to win this first map. Guys, any thoughts on that play right there at his first number, first map?
No, good plays at Thieves.
Yeah, it was good plays. It was a good play. And they sounded good in listening. Then we get to the S&D. Now, Carolina, they go up 4-0 fast in this surge. Very fast. It seemed like they were kind of just running it down. Now, Sim, I could kind of maybe let you think what's wrong with LA Thieves S&D here on the Rio, or where you think what do you think happened? But this was one round. This was a positive. This was a 2v4 from the LA Thieves. You could kind of see how fucking Carolina just tossed it away. But Tyler Fellow, he had a masterclass this map. He was able to pick up the streak. He's also the last round, he was able to get all the information. I'll pull it up. But Sam, what's going on with LA Thieves is S&D?
Here in the game two Rio S&D.
What happened with their Rio search here?
Well, they I think they're 1-1 the last two times they played it, I believe. But in this instance, I actually think Carolina just really likes playing this map. A lot of their situationals seem to be on the same page, and they're really efficient at getting first blood, which is something I think LAT only got like one that map, maybe two, but it was insta-traded. So I think Carolina just has a really good grasp of Rio. They were taking space super well, trading really well. And they just looked like they game planned a little bit better than LAT did here. Like, you can notice, like, the meta for this map is basically just grouping and running around together. But yeah, I think Carolina actually plays the breakoffs before that grouping process starts really well, because they get like a random blood, they'll group in a part of the map that they have info on, and then kind of execute from there.
This was interesting.
I think this
though,
is kind
Sam.
Of a Carolina bread and butter.
This was interesting here, Sam. It's weird to see everybody from LA Thieves run, but Nasty's take a chow, and then he gets sold out.
Back up, Tom. What happened?
And then number five, Dan ends up pushing through A, which I don't think Dan should push through A until the bomb goes down. Once the bomb goes down, I would give it some time, see if anybody bites on the pinch, and then if not, late flank it. Just late hit it. I think he got a little overzealous there, and maybe push it. He tried to push up like by that P2 truck, and he just gets blooded. And then Nasty, his teammates run, he chows, so I don't know if it was like a miscommunication there. And then it was a 2v4 situation. And Joe did get one. We thought for a second LA Thieves was about to clutch this, because Kremp wins a big fight here against Tyler. It's a 2v2 situation. And Joe has no choice. He needs to try and make a play for this bomb. He gets taken down. They know where Kremp is, and he falls. But, yeah.
Wait, they do it? They do have it. Wait, hold on. No, I don't agree with that.
What
Sanders said, they do have a choice. You can back up and chow one of the Eskies together and try and get the guy off the bomb. You think it's defusing. Making solo plays is how you get in trouble on this map. If you watch... You know, I think Carolina's very good at it. I think FaZe is very good at it. Where you rarely see them take solo chows together. They're usually grouping up and they're forcing trades. And you do that, you have a chance to retake. What do you think, Sam?
I think it was a miscommunication. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was just what Tom said. I don't mind the play by Dan to like late play B here, but I think even like after B is planted, or late play, excuse me, after B is planted, you still want to give it time. You want to give it another like 10, 15 seconds, see if you catch someone. And like once the trades start going down, that's when you push. Like Tom, you know, you flanked your whole career. Like, you really don't want to be the first person to take a gunfight when you're pinching. Like, you want to get into the mix when they're like
crazy.
I was going to say, if you look at the minimap, Dan also
you don't win
in
five different titles just flanking.
Dan also got caught trying to run away. He didn't commit to the gunfight on the guy top of the orange balcony, which he might have won, because I think the guy mantled up there to try to kill him. And Dan actually, you can see his arrow turn. So he dies trying to run away when he was trying to late pinch or whatever the hell he was doing.
Yeah, even the next round, they look a little discombobulated here. You can see TJ, they get up on a site, bomb goes down, 4v4 situation. TJ finds one, but Nasty's challenging, like, stairs. Like, just, like, I don't know, but it was weird the way he challenged it by himself, but he didn't really get any shots off, and then you can see Joe, he tries pushing by himself, he gets tagged up. It was good tag usage from TJ, and very quickly, I mean, as we skim through these rounds, you'll see how Carolina was able to get away. This got close, man, it's got a little scary. Almost a 2v4 here for the LA Thieves, but Tyler Fellow makes a good heads-up play, ends up wrapping around. He gets tagged up by Ghosty, and he wins another one here as well. So good plays from Tyler. Tyler played really well this map.
I think you highlighted a big meta thing on this map, especially in the middle of the map, right? You're going to throw that early trophy on both sides because you want to stop the pre-nades. But if that trophy's gone, then it becomes a chicken kind of situation with the stuns. And you don't want to be the team that's challenging into stuns. Their team is clearing with stuns, and then you're kind of there with your pants down. I felt like in the first couple of rounds here for Thieves, they weren't the team that's proactively like challenging off of stuns. They were ones getting stunned and getting bloody.
Even here, look what happens to Kremp. Like, he tries to slide out in the next round, gets stunned here, no trophy, nothing. I mean, bro, he's trying to slide onto bomb without a trophy here. And Nasty's got one in his back pocket. Nasty's got one right there in his back pocket. So it's like, I don't know. They almost look a little unorganized here in the S&D. It's a little unorganized. Maybe something was up, but I agree with Sam that the first bloods was a clear issue in this map. You could see how is it affecting them here, and you can see Joe, he's trying to make a play now. Gwynn, he picks up the shots. I mean, very, very quickly, Carolina's running through it. We'll take a look at the last round here, and I do want to highlight this one play from Dan Gossi just because it was a good spot, so I feel like people back at home. Sam, you say you didn't even know this spot.
Nah, I knew about the other two right here, but I did not know the angle that Dan actually won this round.
It's like he jumps on a sign or something. 1v1, Dan ends up going to this little cruddy spot. That's phenomenal work from Dan Gossi. Unfortunately for him, it was too late to kick up and start making plays, because then we go into the next round, kind of see how it unfolds here. It starts with Gwynn getting traded out Esky, but I love the play here. Tyler Fellow gets info on all three guys from LA Thieves, all three of them. And look at a play from TJ. Instead of overchallenge, he holds an off angle. He's able to put some shots down into one, able to get that kill, backs him up. They get the map control. Bomb goes down from TJ, and Clayster plays a little off angle here. They had no idea. I thought this spot was terrible. I said, God forbid Clay gets picked here. Now it's a 2v2, but they just don't even see him. It's a three time with the big two-piece to end. Any final thoughts on the map 2, Pat? Any final thoughts on the map 2, Rio?
Not necessarily. I don't understand why the Thieves are good at game 5, but ass at game 2. I don't know, Sam. I mean, I know you weren't necessarily the best S&D player in your career, but I don't know if you have any thoughts as to why they're so good.
As good as I was in the other two, Pat, you got to take it.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
Can't be good at all.
Yeah, it's the double going
up. I just looked it up, by the way. They're like 50-50 in game 2 right now. If you go back to like the middle of, really through all of the this version of this team, stage 2 qualifier and on. But obviously, to your point, they have had some good game 5 ice, which we'll get to later in this series.
And then we get into the control now. I don't know what this was, bro. Rewind it back a little bit. We'll see what happens. The kills go down. Everybody from Carolina's in their base coming off spawn. Nasty decides to push up street here and hold this instead of getting on the point with his teammates. And guys, we say it so much about stacking and control and how important it is. And look what happens here. If Nasty's on that point, LA Thieves 100% cap that B point there and get extra time on the clock. Nasty, he tries to make up for it. I think he ends up getting a whole shit ton of kills here. I think he ends up getting like 3 or 4 kills, but correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think LA Thieves capped this B point.
I don't remember if they do or not, but yeah, even if they do, it's still a terrible play.
Yeah, I just feel like right there, you just got to make the default play and stack the point. I think Nasty blacked out a little bit, and it ended up costing LA Thieves that B point, costing them the tick, and who knows, bro? You get that extra time, and you push this to, you push this round, and you extend it. You could win an offense here. You know, it's I feel like you got to do step one first and cap that B point. So, I don't know what happened there. Maybe another miscom or.
Either way, even when he did push it, he kind of blacked out for it there for a second.
He blacked out.
He didn't read the timing of spawns at all, and like he kind of should have realized he probably had a gap to
he probably knew.
To push through and take a gunfight a little bit earlier than he did.
And then I don't know how you guys feel about this, but LA Thieves, they're stacked on the point right now. And look, they're halfway through a third tick. They are 80% there, but they all hop off the point. Like, I understand the streak is in the air, but just stick it. Just stick
yeah,
it.
That's what
just
I was
tick.
Shrieking when the streak was coming down. I literally just said stick. Because, I mean, what you
it wasn't
you cap
even
me
close. It was
100%.
Close.
You cap me 1 million percent. And he kills one person. Because if you jump off on opposite sides, he's never going to get more than one kill. So you just cap the point, jump on both sides of pit, and then you get one kill, and then you get extended time.
Somebody's got to eat that, bro. If anything, you just keep staying at a point, three stack it. Bro, if you get peace, you get peace. You get that tick, you get the extra time, and you try and work a solid push and get that 8 point. You know, like you extend the round. You want to always try and extend the round. But any other thoughts there, Chris Pappen?
Back it up real quick. Yeah, no problem. Like 30 seconds. What is
30 seconds here? Boom. Three dead. Last guy's Clayster, top helipad. Streak comes in.
I want to see once the streak comes in what information they're reacting to. You see the guy's window. There's a guy top. He kills a guy top and holds, and then
I can't believe Nasty didn't also get on the point right what there.
Nasty's looking at the bottom. He's underground looking like, you know, he should just climb up because Clay's getting called out top heli, so like I'm confused.
He tries to survive the streak, but
no, but then he holds
the
free and
he's full sprint.
Yeah.
And his teammate challenged it. And then
Chris?
Was he underground or was he front window?
No. He was under. Nasty, he was underground. Okay, but he should have got, as soon as that streak comes down, Nasty needs to just climb up that ladder, get right back on there. Honestly, same with Dan, probably. Same with probably Dan.
Honestly, bro, it just came down to, I'm sure they realized that one of them should have ate it in the afterwards, but they probably just didn't like comment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody had to take the initiative there and said, I'll eat it, and then everyone else could have ran, but they probably just like all blacked out, and it's just like, it's such a fast like play that they had to make that all their initial instinct was to live. So yeah. That's probably why they didn't do that.
Yep, 100%. And then they end up losing this Carolina. They're able to clutch up on the defense. They pretty much just keep LA Thieves in a spawn trap here, and LA Thieves just run out of time. This one got actually pretty scary, didn't it? This one went all the way down to the wire. I'll fast forward it here towards the end. We could kind of see how it all ends. But, it started with this push here at the end. The live count was 6-4. Gwynn makes the play by staying alive here by their windows. But right here, I think TJ just hiding. They have no idea that he's there. Gwynn puts some shots down. Everybody turns on the point, and that's where TJ comes in. Just good teamwork from Carolina. I like the credit spots from Gwynn and TJ there at the end, just to stay alive. They didn't try and make a play or overchow anything. They just hid until they got on the point, and they were able to close it out. Any thoughts on the high-rise control, guys?
Would have Carolina capitalized on a round 5 defense, which is a trend that we're starting to see more and more on that map. So it's just like those couple opportunities that LAT had ticks on B and they didn't get it, ended up costing them round 5. So I think it's like not as drastic as invasion control, but the way that we've seen that map evolve this season is like defense is becoming just so simple now. Teams have figured it out that like those ticks are extremely important. It's no longer like 50-50 offense could win. Like we're seeing the majority of defensive rounds. So I think like moments like that where you can capitalize one or two ticks on B definitely needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You agree. All right, let's move on. And then we get the 6-star hardpoint. I love this map, guys. I love it. This is one of my favorite maps. We'll take a look here. Going to the P3, we know how important that P3 hardpoint is on this map. You can get a lot of time here. Sam, I know you were distracted during this moment, during the watch party, so I ended up writing down so we could take a look. I actually thought that Dan here and Nasty, I felt like this was unneeded. I don't think they really need to be like pushed up here. Nobody really pushes out mid, too. Like, they're lucky that nobody, like, Teej didn't, like, hit mid-stairs, like, right away and just shoot them both in the side here. But he almost gets two. He probably should have had two if he doesn't YY. I just think it's unnecessary from Dan and Nasty to be pushed up there. Because then you see what happens next. Nobody's in initial time. Somebody from LA Thieves is spawning out. It's sporadic. Gwynn gets one. He turns around. He kills the guy spawning out. And now let's look at this looks. Carolina's in the hill. LA Thieves is pinned in the back. They lose all this time. What do you guys think, man? Do you guys think Dan and Nasty went a little rogue right there? I think they was unnecessary.
Were they caught in transition, if you go back?
No, they pushed up. There's 20 seconds left when they spawn, and they tried pushing it. Which I would much rather Dan just get the new hill, maybe get a trophy down, and then maybe Nasty play a corner somewhere, and Dan can look over him. I don't know, just work a crossfire somewhere. Instead, they get caught out, and I think they realize it. They try running back last second with 5 seconds left. It's too late now.
I almost would have rather them just literally commit and, like, hit it.
Yeah, I think they both had three lives there, to be honest. Like, I think they both spawned P3 regardless. Yeah, I think they both spawned P3 anyway. So I think that, like, it's because they didn't make a play is where, like, things got weird. I think if they actually died, it would have been a better play than, like, how they ended up playing it. Because there's, like, we talk about free lives a lot on the show, but when you get an opportunity where you know you're going to spawn on the back of the new hill, your lives are relevant. Like, if whatever kill you get is just a luxury at that point. So I think if they double hit old or even ran through mid and looked for that guy on the rotation, it would have been a better play than like kind of slow playing the push off, playing for exits.
Then of course Joe DeCee saves him with the triple headshot, the three piece coming in. I mean that's what Joe does. It's what anybody does when they go through FC Black and get back into the league. I mean they're just on another level. But let's move on. And then we got the listening from Carolina. Now the score before this listening starts is 118-136 in favor of the Thieves. Okay, let's tune in and listen to this listening with the Carolina Royal Ravens, and let's take a look at that scoreboard after the fact.
Let's count how many times they were surprised in their comms.
Yeah, let's tune in. Let's lock in.
Yo, homie.
I just got wall.
Can't hold this hill.
Nasty weak. Right side old.
The big hill.
Yeah. Cramp was that old, too. Just cramping Nasty.
Yo, mid, homie.
He hit the cramp. One shot in the corner. He hit back out. We need to kill this guy.
I did it. Let's go.
spawned out. Nice, I spawned out. I'm trying to repinch mid, okay?
In the back.
Look at my wood stairs.
Yo, in lobby.
I'm behind him. I'm behind that bar. In mid lobby. They double back. Dan's watch on the back. I'm coming behind as well. I'm looking at wood stairs. He's front hop.
Front hop.
I'm dead. Deep back on me, Dan. One's gonna be lobby. Two lobby, one's deep back. Two lobby weak.
I'm dead.
I'm going statue already.
Yeah, full 60 for back. I spawned out.
I have a trouble time. I'm on drop right now. He's dead.
One more in the back.
Cramp. Be back. Yep. I'm just holding across from drop.
In the, like, the heli. Back heli.
I'm holding across from drop. And my U's open.
I have it.
The off old went. He went mid.
Mid DJ weak.
DJ
one shot.
One low, one high. Joe to save. Joe to save. One shot right side, laying down.
Hey, Joe.
Right side, laying down. Cramp.
In top.
I'll pay tighter to us, huh?
Trying to nade your drop, bro. They naded me.
There was no...
All right, that's going to do it for the listening here. What did you guys think? I thought it was terrible.
Where do we want to start? Where do we want to start?
I mean, it just sounded like they didn't want to be there. It just sounded like they were. It almost sounded like they just woke up, or like they needed like a ghost energy or something. They needed something, bro. Go ahead, Pat.
I want to play devil's advocate here. Yes, their comms suck, but I don't know if you guys noticed, there wasn't a single instance of two blue names in the kill feed on the left side. They didn't get one double kill. They were dead almost first in every situation, and no one got a two piece. And no one got a trade. They were just getting absolutely world star in the kills.
Because they can't organize themselves to get in a fucking setup to do that.
But when you're playing, I mean, they had a fucking full row, and they just got pieced. All three of them dropped instantly.
They weren't looking at anything. They were surprised that people were on top of them already.
But what I'm saying is, if you're getting outslayed like that, where every kill, you're just not getting any kills, like, obviously your comms are going to suck, because all you're doing is calling out from the death screen. Like...
Yeah,
I would say that, Pat, I agree,
they were definitely getting slammed.
But the thing
is, they're getting slammed. Yeah, like,
I would say that when you are on the back foot of a play, your comms need to be elevated, because that is when it is on you to make the play, to coordinate something, to come back and make the situation a positive for you. Like, what? There's no excuse for that. I don't give a fuck if they're dying. The team is dog shit.
We're acting like the team is some godlike team.
They're
like,
not dog shit. They're all right. Like, they've gotten better. They're all right.
They got Gwen.
Sam, any thoughts on that listening?
That was fucking ass. I mean, I'm not defending it by any means, but yeah, they were just getting fucking ran through. LAT's first and break percentage on the map for a reason, and every setup that Carolina had that entire map, they just got immediately ran through.
Yeah,
I mean, there was I'm holding this, let's help this. Like, with team shot here, it was just like, I'm gonna hit old. Oh, this guy's hopping up on me. Oh, they're in the back. Oh, this. Oh, there's just,
yeah,
there's nothing there.
And keep in mind that.
So I heard a call out from Gwen during that sequence of two on me.
That's it.
Two on you where, brother? And then we spawn. We don't call up, but we spawn. Like, I agree with Chris, bro. Like, especially if you're in a position where your momentum's against you, you got to work together to try and do something together. And that just sounded like a team that had already kind of chalked it up and was ready for fucking map five. Go ahead,
Tom. I mean, if I'm Gwen, I'm calling out to management during the listen-ins. I'm like, get me some help. That's what I'm saying during the listen-ins. Get some public awareness around it.
Carolina ended with 139 points in that map four. They started that listen-in with 118 points. LAT's at 136. They did not get many points for the second rotation of that hard point. So it was just not looking good for Carolina.
They got
ran. Any final thoughts on the six-star? Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I do have one. And this is about the Thieves. I actually knew, by the way, when the Thieves won this map four, that it was over.
Oh, yeah?
The series was over. Thieves won.
Same.
Thieves have never lost a series after winning a map four, and they've lost every series after losing map four.
Damn.
So
wow. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
That's true.
They've lost a game five this year.
Not after. You're not listening, Ben. After winning map four.
You're not listening, Ben.
They've never lost a series. If they lose,
they lose game four.
Then they lose every time.
It's only happened once, though. Isn't that only happened like once?
What?
It's still every time, I guess.
They're 3-12 in map fours. Every time they've won a map four, they've won the series. Every other time they've lost, they've lost.
So that's cap because I just looked up a series against Rocker where they lost hardpoint to get around map four and then they won a game five. So I don't know where.
You're not listening, Ben. You're not listening.
He's not listening, bro.
He's not listening, Tom.
They lose a game. You say when they lose a game four, then they lose a series. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying every time they win map four, they've won the series.
Right.
Facts.
And they're 3-12 in map four.
Okay, and when they lose map four, what happens?
That's it. That's all I said. LAT is the only team in the league that hasn't lost a series after winning map four. They're 3-0.
Nah, you had a second part to that. What was the second
part? Yeah, what was the second part? Am I crazy?
All I said was they're 3-12 in map fours. So all they have to do is win map four, and they win the series.
Nah, I think I got fucking gaslit, bro.
Tom, is there something in Ben's ears? Is he not listening?
I didn't hear nothing.
Nah, Pat's
lying. Is he not listening, Tom?
I didn't hear nothing, Pat. I didn't hear nothing, Slay. I'll be honest.
He's just not listening. He's just not listening.
I don't even know what gaslighting is, bro.
Me either. Me either.
I don't even know what that is.
I feel like that's an excuse for not having Q-tips to clean out the ears.
Let's pivot slightly. Listen, we got a tip thieves, bro. Especially this version of Thieves team. They've had some mixy series. They've had some series where they played B plus COD. But the one thing that we've counted on them in stage two and in this one, and the only game five I can remember them losing was to FaZe. They close these things out in five. Like, it takes a lot of grit, adversity executing your game plan, mid map adjustments, and Thieves have done this very well. And some of those game fives have not been like the 6-1 blowout that happened today on High Rise. Some of them have been pretty close. I don't know if you remember some of the Dan Ghosty clutches, the Nasty clutches. We got to give Thieves credit. It's not always going to be easy. They haven't swept a lot of teams, but they have grinded out and closed out these series. We can't say the same for, like, Minnesota Rocker, for example. That was our big MO with them last foot, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a consistent way to win. Right now it's working, 100%. But relying on extended series, we've talked about it time and time again on the show. Eventually your luck is going to run out. So I think that they find themselves in very winnable situations in a lot of these game threes and fours. And a lot of the time they just start to fumble over themselves into a game five. Granted, right now it's working. They're 6-1 game fives. So they've got that to fall back on, but these series are very closable before it gets to a game five, and they're not capitalizing on that. So, if they can hone in a little bit, these series will go a lot smoother going forward.
Yep. Agreed. Let's move on. Also, we have a legend in the chat, guys. We have the 2-time world champion Apathy in the chat, man. So make sure to show him some love if you see him in it. Type it. What's going on, Brian? Hope you're doing well, bro. Let's hop in. I want to get into the last map, S&D, here. I want to start things off with the 1-2 round. Now, this is more just to teach people at home. I thought this was flawless from LA Thieves here. I really like the plant spot here from Nasty. He kind of, like, stretches it here. And Sam, I know that you, right away, you wanted them out of that site as soon as the bomb goes down. Yeah, get off the bomb. Get out of there. The explosions come in. They can see the bomb here from back their street, from where he planted it. They can see it. They can see it from back street. They can see it from back windows. Carolina can't do anything other than challenge these guys street, and then they just run into a funnel of LA Thieves players. I thought the way they set that up was flawless. I want to see more teams do that. I like the plant spot. Don't know why Carolina just kind of sat back and gave them all map control, though. I don't like the fact that Nasty just walked onto the B site and planted it. And I don't know how you guys feel about that. Sam, we'll start with you. I thought it was a great place from Thieves, but what did you think about Carolina's setup there?
I think they were just kind of banking on not rush planning. The only way to counter it is to play like their heli stairs, which you're kind of committing to a gunfight if they like camera the corner because they aren't hard challenging B Street. So that guy could get 2v1. You can play like the Ibiza hop up that we see a lot of people do to like try to catch a timing there. But going on to B bomb on defense is pretty much all timings. So I think that LAT just got honestly lucky here that they didn't play that. But to your earlier point, this is the stuff that we talk about all the time on the show for post plants. It's like they planted the bomb with a clear idea of how the round was going to go out. They got off the bomb. They had someone checking it. They were playing to funnel Carolina into these gunfights because they have to, because in order to win the round, Carolina have to kill LAT who are hard holding the bomb. They cannot hop it. They can't cheese the round out. They have to challenge. So this was just a fucking, honestly, a textbook round out of them.
Yeah, I love this round. Good round. Anything, anybody else got anything to say? Duarte got anything to say there?
LAT played the post plant well, but like, I don't know if they had this like set strat in practice like the Ravens did where they just like were going to like hard retake with nades or something, but they just had negative map control, negative information. Like, this round was set up for failure if they didn't get an immediate pick as soon as the bomb went down.
Yeah. Also, we got Dylan attached to the chat. So many world champs, man. Unfortunately, I can't relate. Let's move on. Then we have the 1-3 round here. This was a good retake from LAT. Again, you can see it's a 3v3 situation. And you can see here kind of how it unfolds. Now, I don't know what you guys think here. Can Tyler Fellow plant this bomb and get the fuck out of there? I feel like dying from heli stairs. Like, I don't know. He tried to go street. He tried to run backwards and go street. Nah, he's got to know that somebody might be heli stairs there, right?
Yeah, that's just like kind of an intuition thing. Like, if he didn't clear, like, maybe he slid on the bomb and there was no one there. Maybe that's why he thought that he could get out. Like, maybe he wasn't playing the angle when he slid on the bomb.
I think he's just trying to slide out of there ladder. I feel like you got to feel that presence there. I don't know. It kind of costed him. But now it's a 2v3 situation. LA Thieves do a good job not letting that bomb carrier get out. And you could kind of see how it ends up unfolding. Krem puts some shots down into the guy's street. I thought for a second Gwyn and Clay were going to clutch this. But Gwyn loses a big 1v1 here. It lags a little bit in that gunfight in the moment. But Nasty hits him with a fucking boobop. The bada bang, the bada boom.
The pistol's pretty
good. What are you doing? That was insane.
For the streak.
Well, I think the biggest thing with the pistol, bro, and if people aren't doing this, is bro, it's how fast you move off your slide. So, like, he slides in, and he can strafe on his slide. Like, the fact that he hits that little strafe there, With the pistol, you strafe so fast with the pistol that you can just fuck somebody up. Gwyn gets shit on here. Really good shots from Tom,
it also helps, again, that Gwyn was preeming the left because Joe had gotten called out. So he's, like, tweaking. So the double team going lower there kind of helps him out. Otherwise, he's preeming the right. I think he probably wins the gunfight, and they probably win this round. So
Good shots from Nasty there at the end as well to win that fight there on the clay. He had fantastic shots with the God Gun, the MCW, of course. And then we go to the last and final round. This is where LAT's close it out. This is where Kremp flips off the camera. Let's take a look and see what the fuck happens here. It's a 3v3 situation here. I do not like how Carolina is just, like, separated here. TJ's on the bomb by himself here. And let's be honest, that corner is a day one corner, bro. This is, like, everybody's going to check this shit.
That's not just a day one corner, Tom. That's a 2009 corner.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to play here by yourself, might want to try and figure out, like, a little off-angle or something. TJ just kind of gets fumbled. He didn't even shoot his gun. They check the corner. They kill him. That's a 3v2 situation. Again, the Carolina players, they're so separated. They're nowhere near each other. Tyler Fellow gets singled out. There he goes. It's two players just getting singled out. And Clay tries jumping on the fucking thing. There he goes. Sloppy from the Carolina Royal Ravens. Very, very sloppy. Any final thoughts on the series, gentlemen?
I think we got to bring up the LA Thieves graphic. That was one of the craziest graphics I've ever seen in a post-match win.
With the nails one?
Yeah, the, like, game over. That shit was clean. But with all the, like, community talking about, like, Clay painting his nails or whatever, bro, that graphic hit. All
right, let's take a look.
I don't know who they're paying that guy, the Thieves, but he might need a raise.
Raw probably made that. That was a great graphic. My
Raw works
thing...
with us. He's a good guy. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, you need to give him a raise.
Yeah. I saw Jake Lucky tag Raw on it. So I think a key thing for me, one, kind of a random takeaway, but I think teams got to stop playing Carolina and Rio S&D. I think get that map the fuck out of here because it's clearly their best search map. I think for Thieves, obviously, continuing to show ice in this Carolina team. Look, you had a great weekend last weekend. Gwyn hard carried you through that New York series, and you grinded through the other one. But reality hits now. Like, they got to find a way to, you know, close out these series when you're up 2-1. You give teams a chance to take you to 5, and you can't close out on your worst search map statistically. All right, or at least what we've seen from matches, even though Carolina picked it in this series. Like, I don't know, man. I'm a little iffy on Carolina, and I'm curious to see what their next series against Toronto and FaZe, how they do, because it's looking like they're going to go on a little bit of a slide here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any final thoughts, guys, on the series as a whole?
Nope. If Gwyn's not 1.5, they lose.
Yeah, Gwyn really did take over for the last series that they won. I'm not going to lie. He took the fuck over. Go ahead, Ben. You got something to say?
I think, yeah, they need Gwyn to play well, and I thought he didn't play too bad today. I just think it's the same problems as always, bro. The two ARs on this team are super up and super down, and they don't give you any consistency. And if they're getting fried, it's going to be real tough. They got lucky that one series, or Gwyn hard carry them. And if they play well, then this team does decent in the respawn. So
you know what's crazy, Ben?
They've been good at control to split, which I'll tip. So go ahead.
You know what's crazy? Another team also sucked really bad. Decided to finally drop a bad AR.
Yeah. What a
and
segue,
they got way better.
That's
yeah,
a
great it's a good segue.
What a segue.
Love your segue.
It's phenomenal.
Oh my god.
Can you guys drag our special guest, please?
Before we do drag our special guest, Pat, I do appreciate the segue, but we do have a ad read from Benjay Nassim. Go ahead, Benjay.
Hey, I appreciate it, Tom. FaZe and Seal Series have joined forces to make the ultimate and best looking peripheral collab in gaming. I actually got a bunch of Steel Series stuff sent to me today, so I think for the next show I will be wearing it. And as you see, Tom, if you're watching our video version of this show, you'll see that he's got one of the headsets on as well. So make sure you check out the FaZe edition of the Nova 7 wireless headset, which I think is the one you have right now, Tom. Is that the Nova 7?
I don't know. It's wireless. I think it's Arctis Nova. These are Michaela's. I don't even know how she got these. I think she stole them for me.
Fair enough.
These are the Arctis Novas, Ben. The Arctis Novas.
Arctis Novas. Okay, fair enough. Stolen, borrowed, maybe same thing. I don't know. The Apex 9 mini keyboard, also check that out. The Aerox 3 wireless mouse, which I think you have. You have one of the Aerox mouses. And the QCK Double XL heavy mouse pad, which I have and I love. We actually got it at Major 4 last year, and I kept it from that bed. So make sure you check all that out. All the FaZe Steel Series stuff is only available at Best Buy, in-store, and online. Obviously, if you want to buy regular Series stuff, you can buy that in a lot of different places. So make sure you check out their website. And yeah, shout out to Steel Series for partnering with us on a lot of episodes coming up. And I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
More stuff coming.
Yeah, shout out to Steel Series. Command Steel Series in the chat if you guys are interested in any of the products. Go check it out, man. Shout out to Steel Series. Let's move on. Let's go on to our next series of the day. We have a special guest coming in. If you guys want to drag him in, we can't. Oh, do you want to need me to drag him? Where is he? Is that him, JA? Is that him up here?
Yeah.
Okay, let me drag him in here. Nope, I don't think I can too. I'm on Michaela's computer. We need Chandler.
Oh, shall we? I might be able to.
We got him.
Yo, what's going on, Flames?
It was good.
What's good, bro? Congratulations on an impressive debut today, man.
Appreciate it.
How do you feel, bro? I know, I feel like it's been like a long time coming. You kind of just been chilling on the bench. You've been a substitute. Just kind of waiting for a change, and I'll be honest, I felt like the change took a really long time, but you're here, and I think you had one of the better debuts we've seen from a lot of people who have came into the league. How does it feel to go out and play like that on your opening day?
I'm turning down a little bit, by the way. He's really loud.
Gotcha.
It feels good, to be honest. Like, didn't really have, like, a reaction at first. It was kind of like just, I guess, leading up to, like, when I got told Monday I'd get in, I was just really excited, like, the whole week playing against people that, like, I'm not unfamiliar with. Like, it's people I've played against Challengers, like, 3/4 of that team today that I played was in Challengers, like, last year and this year. So, not like I was in, like, an unfamiliar playing field. It was just, like, I don't know. It was a bigger magnitude of a match, but it was just, like, another best of five to me. It was fun, though. It was so fun, like, getting that win.
Yeah, just like another day of COD. Well, how did you feel that now that you're playing in the pro league? I know you've been playing in challengers, and you know, I it's different players, a different pace. I know they both games just feel a little different. What's the biggest difference that you have noticed from challengers to the CDL today? Like, or from scrimming, of course. What is a big change?
I mean, we had 2 days of pro scrims, so like, I feel like my sample size is still like little to none. But for me, I feel like compared to challengers, it's super frantic and chaotic. Like in the league, you actually have time to think in between your lives. And like, it seems way slower paced to me. So I feel like that just suits me more.
You think it's just because it's more more fundamental? Do you think that's why it feels a little bit slowed down? Because challengers is a little hectic for sure.
I think it's way more team oriented. Like without good teamwork and good small talk, like I feel like you're just not going to do anything like major within the league. And challenger, you can get away with a lot of individual plays and like a lot of hitting gaps, but like in the league, all that's like minimized, I feel like.
Yeah, no, 100%. What's it like, man, playing with Estriel, Dominic? I love Connor, man. Diamond Con, some of those guys over there. You got Fame over there. What's it like playing with some of those guys?
I mean, I've known them all for years, bro. I've known like Estriel since BO4. I've been playing with him since. I've known Connor and Kev since like MW19, so I mean, it's, like, people I'm super familiar with. Like, we were supposed to team in Challengers at the beginning of this year. So, like, I mean, it's fun, bro. I'm literally playing with my friends. Can't, like,
Can't
complain.
Good
feeling for sure.
Yeah, can't complain.
Can't.
And you're getting W's too, which is good. Anybody got any questions here for Flames while we have them?
I was going to ask you, just to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what your come up was like and all that stuff. Just kind of like give the audience that's watching, whether they're watching live or through, you know, any other sources, just a little bit about yourself and like how you came up in the scene. Because obviously, like, LAG doesn't get a lot of coverage, so some people like in chat might not really know you as a player or as a person at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, it started like, I would say, honestly, you gave me like my first opportunity. Like Haggy did in like a in
Yo,
like
is this a paid promotion?
Tournament.
No.
I mean, it's not just honestly like the truth. Like he did like put me on
great
like
question, Chris.
A nice path. So,
he knew what he was doing,
like,
asking that question.
Tournament, like
I really didn't. I was just like, all right, we'll have him tell something.
Go ahead, Blaze. Go ahead.
You didn't have to say that.
After that tourney, like my name kind of got somewhat more popping. Got invited to like another big tournament. Did like okay in that. And then from there, like I really didn't compete till last year, just because I turned 18 in like the middle of Cold War. Didn't want to play Vanguard because, like, I had no drive to play COD. And then, yeah, I mean, I just played last year in Challengers. I got signed, and I just pretty much just chilled as a sub. But, like, I do think that there's, like, a wrong point of view, or, like, people perceive, like, me to probably be terrible coming into the team because, you know, it's LAG. Like, they're perceived to be bad. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, it was kind of like a just show out today and just prove to everyone that, like, stigmas shouldn't be a thing. And just, like, just make a name for yourself. So, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing tomorrow also. So I just want to, like, keep that path going.
Yeah, well, I feel like once you get your first win, you're fiending to keep playing. I feel like it's got to be a good feeling. Got to keep that momentum down, keep the gas pedal down. Chris, you got any other questions? Sam, Ben, Pat, you guys got questions for Flames while we have them here?
I got one.
Before we get to the clips.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I got one.
That was good.
I mean, were you losing full while this team was stinking and you weren't being brought on?
I mean,
like,
nah,
like were you sitting there knowing like, yo, I could turn this around.
Let's see how that PR training looks.
I was just chilling in Challengers, bro. Like, I have my beliefs. Like, I feel like I could have played in the league for a while now. So, I mean, it was just a matter of time whether they believed I was ready or not. Like, they put me in now, and that's what's important. Like, I just got to focus on what's ahead of us.
God,
what a question. What an answer.
Right there.
Great answer.
I got a follow-up. Who's your favorite COD player of all time?
I mean, I like started watching COD around AW on MOG TV, so I think like I really did nothing but watch like Skump and Nadeshot. Like that was really like growing up. I mean, probably Skump, like him or Krim. Krim's the GOAT, like got the most wins. So yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like winning's everything to everyone. So
you're telling me this guy's an Optic fan and he knows how to answer Pat's questions? Nah. Holy fuck, bro.
Pat just fell to his knees.
What do you mean?
He's on his knees right now.
Why would I be on my knees? I'm sorry. I mean, I want to go ahead and take the time to apologize for breaking your heart so many times back then.
I'll be honest, bro. I don't even think I was like that back then. Like, I don't think I really cared that much. Like,
all good.
So, good for you.
Appreciate
that's
it.
That's crazy, man.
Fake fan, you heard it first.
Sam, you got any questions before we head over to some clips? Flames, you're more than welcome to hang with us during the clips, or you can leave. It's whatever you want to do. I don't know how much time you have.
I'm down to chill. I got time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, if he's chilling, I got questions through the clips and stuff, just like how he was feeling while he was playing and stuff like that.
Yeah, for
I just
sure.
wanted to like give you some gas here. This isn't more so of a question, but the one thing I'm looking forward to is I know you personally, so I know how confident you are in your gameplay and just like how you are as a person. So I hope that like confidence translates to how you present yourself in the league and now and also your gameplay, because that's probably what I'm most excited about, because I know you love the chirp and I'm looking forward
bro.
To it.
I mean, the confidence is always going to be there. Like, no one will ever take that away from me. So the more wins I get, like, the more you'll see it. Trust me.
Oh, love yeah.
How old are you, Flames?
I just turned 21.
Oh, you're young, bro. Just 2 weeks ago. He just got to finally drink. It's phenomenal. Let's move on to some clips. Anybody got anything else? All right.
No, let's get into it.
Let's move on. So first clip of the day, Flames, this is actually a mistake that I thought I saw from you guys. Maybe you guys were trying to play in a different way that I'm not looking at it. Like, maybe you guys wanted to push through it. But I thought right here, maybe you guys could have rotated. And I don't know what the rest of the panel can obviously. Number two, Fame, he was going towards that way. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then he cuts back to mid. And then number one, Flames, that's you. You quickly follow. Was the plan here to just kind of push through old? I feel like you guys maybe should have rotated there. What do you think? We'll start with Sam, and then we'll kind of go down. What do you think, Sam? You think they should have rotated there? I thought they should have rotated.
I think this is a situation where they got wiped prior on that push, right? That's probably why they didn't.
Yeah, I'll rewind it a little bit. They were holding. Yeah, they were actually holding there. And then they
spawned in Narn, so they probably thought that they were just... I mean, your rotation to P4 from this hill is running through boxes. So I would assume they probably thought that they were just super beat and that Minnesota would be rotating. So they probably just tried to take their numbers at old. I definitely think Fame should have at least gotten info on P2 instead of 4 committing, which I think is the mistake. But I think they were just reacting on the timing of the kills and where they spawned, to be honest.
I feel like Flames and Fame should both go here.
I mean, they could, but again, like the rotation for this hill is running through boxes. So I would assume that they didn't want to just face smash front, die, and then spawn out.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
A lot of people opt to play through old on this hill just because that side of the map is a little bit more favorable, in my opinion, for holding the hill. Because whenever they're coming through the P2 side, if you manage to flip them out, you get all those head glitches on the hill, the white car, et cetera, et cetera. That might have been their ideology. But also, I think we watched Optic a couple, like way back, make a mistake here where. They could have rotated. They could have had number one and two rotate, like you were saying, Tom, and then have like 3 and 4 play exits slash a late pinch.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have done something like that. I mean, I think it's just up to them and how they read the pressure. They probably, again, like you said, thought that they had numbers here and they could have easily cleaned this guy up and then had pressure on like a pinch. But I mean, they read the situation wrong. They just lost it.
This is where the comeback starts from Rocker. Like Rocker ended up like tying this up and making this like a pretty crazy game where I felt like LAG was dominating for most of the map. I felt like that was kind of like the swinging point there. But Ben, what did you think about the play?
I think I agree with what Sam said. I think if Fame had kind of chowed the P4 and gotten them some info, maybe they could have made a better play here. But I don't like super hate the guys that were a little bit closer pushing the roll and them trying. I think they just thought they would have gotten there pretty quick and just didn't work out that way in hindsight.
Pat, would you have rotated here in your professional expertise?
I would have, Tom. Personally,
I think it would have helped them there. I think if they rotate there, they close out this game with ease. I think they close it out with ease here. They shit them. Flames, you're the one who was in the moment. What happened? Did you feel like it was better to push through old? Was there comms coming in, or was it a did you black out? I used to black out all the time.
Nah, I mean, to be honest, in the moment, like, Connor was still bridge, so I feel like they just played it well. Like, they knew he was still bridge, so they kind of figured our flow and, like, our pressure was going to be down mid to get to him. Because, like, we're not going to play 3 lanes of the map with, like, Justice being middle. So, I mean, we kind of just played through old, but it probably would have been better if Kevin and I just rotated and let, like, Justice and Connor play this.
Yeah, but I see. In the moment, we just misplayed it. Yeah, well, Connor, like, deep bridge. Yeah, like, reading the situation. I mean, it's always way easier to talk in hindsight looking after the fact on what you could have done. Yeah. So when you're in the situations again, like, you won't have...
They just read the pressure well.
Yeah, 100%. Anybody else got anything to say there? I thought that was a big mistake. This ended up kind of, like, getting this game pretty tied. Like, this is where they started to bring it back. But towards the end, Flames, this is where you start to kick up, too. You end up getting, like, a 3-piece cruise missile here. We go to the P1. This is the third rotation here. I thought it was a little bit of an overheat. LAG, they get here. Estriel and Fame, they make good plays. They're able to get kills. I think it was Estriel who goes fucking rogue. Flames gets one. Flames, you were going fucking crazy up here, by the way. I think it was before they broke. I think you popped like a 4 or 5 piece and you were able to get a streak. Did you get it? Yeah, that's where you got the streak.
Yeah,
right,
I got
Flames?
A streak. Yeah, I went. I mean, I pretty much lost this hill. I overchowed so bad. I just went rogue.
On this hill right here? Stuff.
The P1? Yeah, he checked so bad.
I was actually about to comment on your guys' P1. There was so many times where you guys, like, peaked Eskies and overchowed it, and I'm like, you never want to chow that lane unless you're playing the vending heady. Like, you're just going to get held by the guy on the escalators, and there were so many times where they were getting a free kill or free damage, which made this hill, like, so much harder for you guys than it needed to be.
No, yeah, I mean, I like, single-handedly stemmed, like, them breaking, because I just gave this guy a free kill. Like, I just flew at him. I was weak, and I just throw-chowed.
I was feeling myself. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You feeling yourself
first league match and shit, just challenge.
Yeah, I was just challenging.
You probably thought you were gonna catch them sprinting, but they kind of just felt the pressure and weighed you out, and they got freebies.
Yeah, and in the ending of this game was fucking hectic, bro. Holy shit, I don't even know. I felt like here was just nonstop trades. I also pay attention to the minimap here. I felt like Minnesota Rocker could have like hit some go buttons here.
Bro, they were pre-aiming.
They were pre-aiming, right? They weren't really moving, especially when the hill gets white here. So they're kind of pushing here.
Like, what is happening right here?
I don't know.
Like, what is happening right there?
And then right here, it gets even weirder. Right here, it's like a standoff. Yeah. And it's like nobody from... Look at Minnesota Rocket right now. Look. They're just sitting there. Just sitting there. The streak comes in from Flames. Now they're like, oh, fuck, we got to go. He's got a streak. Bang! It's a three-piece from Flames.
What decided this hill, though, was earlier. You didn't, like, catch in your clip, Tom, but it was the rotation. Standy already had pressure, like, on P2, and he was, like, kind of towards the gate. And, like, LAG, I think it might have been during a listen-in. I could be wrong, but they were... They were trying to, like, fish him out. I think it was this hill. It could have been this other one.
Matt's here.
Like,
Standy's here. He's pushed out. He's fishing.
They needed to get to Standy earlier. And, like, this was, like, a big moment in the game where this whole, like, scenario could have decided the whole map. Because Rocker does get the first blood here. And then they just get caught with their pants down. And then Standy's still left alive here while they're trying to, like, run over to him.
Yeah. And then good plays here from the trades. You slide out. Diamond Con gets a trade. You guys are able to break in there. Good teamwork right there from you guys. Guys, any final thoughts here on the map one? 30 bomb for Flames on the debut.
This Minnesota team with this comp looks very awkward in hard point. I don't know.
1-9.
Bro,
they're 1-9 right now?
1-9 in respawns since their new team has been.
Yeah, we do got to talk about Rocker. Hardpoint.
1-5 and Harpoint, 0-4 in control. The S&Ds have been solid, and like I guess that is an improvement from the last team, but you know, if you're winning searches and you can't win a respawn to save your life, like I don't know what we're doing here. And more concerning to me is like the only respawns they won is a Karachi. They're not winning Rios, they're not winning Vistas. They played like a 6-star S&D. I don't know, man. The respawn looks all sorts of problems.
Bro, I got to cook your tweet on the timeline. I don't know, like, you might have said it was a gimmick thing, but you said that Standy might not have been the pickup on this team. Yeah, he played good this series, and I get he's had bad series, but I'm sorry. This team has the slowest AR duo in the fucking game, bro.
It's like fucking, bro.
It's so bad, dude.
It is bad. It's very, very slow. I don't mind slow players. They just need to be paired up with certain people. Like, you look at... And let's not act like Standy. Standy's a great player, but he's not like a headbutter. He's not like an entry fragger, right? He's kind of
team
like a
no
roam. Yeah, he's kind of like a roam slaying like type of sub, like cut.
That's why I thought they keep Reese, Tom. That's why I'm confused 100%. About it because with Pierce, listen, like Pierce does have when he wants to some speed, but when we watched him play with this team, it's been to your point, Chris, very slow. We know Lamar is very much not a quick player. But I think bringing Eli in, like him and Lindsay are still trying to figure out how they want to play. I just think the two-person change, yeah, maybe it kind of improved their overall S&D play, but the respawn looks totally out of pocket right now.
It's been like that, though. Like, even if you guys did your research in Challengers, if you looked at, like, Big P stats, like, on the team that he won Challengers with, he by far had the least engagements. Obviously, the team dynamic is, like, it's probably completely different, but, like, Pierce is a pretty slow player, and it feels like the reason why this team can't fucking break anything is because there's just no initiative on the team, and it feels like they're just waiting for a scam every time, and if they don't give them anything, there's just 0% chance they break a fucking hill.
I think it's very clear, and I feel like we talk about how some teams like Carolina are poorly run. This Minnesota Rocker team has made like one good roster change in 5 years, like mid-season, and that was the Stanley pickup. And it improved what was a dog shit hardpoint team into making them decent. And they had a very good end of year. Outside of that, all of these midseason changes they've tried and midseason adjustments have all been terrible over the course of the last
five
years.
I mean, Jay,
it's not even just midseasons. No. It's the offseason. Yeah, they don't make good teams, bro.
I was gonna say, Jay, I mean, you played this team. Like, do you like feel like there's just a slow team? Like, how did it feel like playing this team in like those respawns? Like,
It's not rocket science, bro. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I said I scammed the P1, I should have just known, like, their ARs are not moving. Like, you actually don't got to play to know, like, these two guys do not move. Like,
Well, everybody's got their play styles, and, like, obviously, as you play more two flames, like, you'll start picking up on other people's tendencies, especially in the league. Like, you're going to be scrimming these guys every day. You'll be picking up on, like, how a lot of these guys play. But I agree, bro. You could have just sat there all day. And just made them make the play. And who knows when they would have decided to make that play because they don't have no go buttons. Go ahead, Sim.
Really quick on their roster, I don't necessarily think that Standy is, like, a bad player. He had a good series today. He's had, like, some pretty questionable moments. He's been, like, good in search for them. But, like, thematically, this team just doesn't work, bro. And I think everyone on our show probably had made a point about it when the roster change got announced. Like, You removed the variable in Reese Vivid from the team, which is that go button, is that player that, like, is hard to track, like makes things weird. And you kind of just made a default team. Like they're not necessarily like horrible players, but just them together. They're not doing anything proactive. There's no proactivity. It's just like waiting for the other team to fuck up. And
the whole team's inconsistent, dude.
The whole team's inconsistent. And to be honest, all of them have regressed like pretty heavily in respawn. So I'm not going to put this entirely on the roster change. Like Lamar is like miles away from where he was to start the year. I think Linz has been like pretty. Bro, since stage one, Linz has not been good. I'm going to be honest. Like we were touting like rookie of the year because his stage one was like out of the gate crazy. Since stage one, he has been mid, like at best. So I don't know if that's a product of like the team. But even when they weren't doing super well, he was still like that Gwyn moment where he was just like always performing. But the whole team is just like not playing well. Like we cooked them for the Rotver for like Wake and all this stuff, but like they're all kind of regressing. It's not just like a system thing.
You're muted, Tom, but I agree with you.
Oh, my bad. I was going to say...
Everyone's got to get kills.
I was going to say, everybody's got to get fucking kills, bro. These guys can't slay. Like, Lamar's got to step it up. Big P's got to step it up. I agree, Sam. Linz has been... I don't know what happened with Linz. I don't know if it was because of the team change. Like, bro, listen, that's what happens when you have a sub-duo like Vivid, who just head smashes everything. Like, Linz was probably... Yeah. The game just felt different to Linz.
He had the freedom. He had the green light to... Because people, like, you were worried about Linz, but, like, Reese is just the variable, bro. He was a player that, like, gets dropped every fucking season, but it's just a constant anomaly on the map. Like, you don't know his play style. You don't know, like, what decisions he's making. Whereas, like, if you look at these four players, Lamar and Gunless aren't going to move. Linz is, like, laying down in some cruddy off angle. And so is Standy. Like, they're the same player. So having a sub-duo that play the same is never going to be a recipe for success. That's why you see it on every top four team. You have a fast head smash go button, and you have a slow Standy type player.
100%. Even just looking at the stats, bro. Even just looking at the stats... Like, Lamar and Linz had similar pressure. Granted, one's an AR, one's a sub. And then look at P. Look at Big P. So, like, he just has, like, 10 less deaths, like, in the entire series than the rest of it. Like, or, like, the rest of his teammates outside of Standy. Standy had way more kills.
Does Standy have to be a sub? Like, I feel like Standy would be good in another role. If it was, like, an AR role or a flex role, like, I feel like he could do those other roles. Like, just naturally how he plays. Like, I feel like with an MCW, he would love it.
Did they try that Modern Warfare 2 at some point?
Did they? I don't remember.
Or Vanguard. Did they try that at Vanguard at some point?
I have no idea.
That team had four flexes on it, so probably.
I don't understand.
Year, but I feel like they did try that at some point, didn't they?
We literally talked about this Rocker team. They were at an okay place. All they had to do was pick up a fast AR that could get kills instead of Wake. That's it. And then monitor Lamar. And if Lamar didn't step up or stayed at that level, drop him too, pick someone else up. But, like, I don't understand... This roster, they brought in someone that's arguably worse.
They picked up a slow AR and they made a sub roster change that obviously, unless it was, I don't think it was performance related. It could be if they were looking at it that way, but I don't think it was. And if it was performance related, I want to know what the fuck they're smoking on, because Vivid was easily their most impactful player and Linz was their star who was bouncing off the rest of his team.
This is the downside of picking up the recycled players, right? Like, I know we talk about like known quantities a lot, but it's like we kind of knew these players weren't moving the needle when they made this change, and that's why I was just like, "What are you wasting time on?" Like,
I do want to ask a question though. Do you think, like, for instance, somebody like Big P, Pat, like, why doesn't he just adapt? Just speed up.
I don't think Big P and Lamar will ever work on a roster.
His playstyle was never like that. So you could say in jetpacks, like, obviously he was a really like big player, but he was
fast, bro.
No. You can say that, but like by the nature of the way the game is played, you were basically fast. Like you had no choice. Like the game was fast for you, right?
I mean, even ignoring that, look at World War II and BO4.
Exactly. You go to boots games. My boy was holding this iron. He was just playing ready for the ones, the kills.
He didn't play fast
in boots games. He was always like just kill
games,
heavy.
Maybe
like
you're right. World War II.
Maybe not statuesque.
That's not entirely true. He He ran a sub while playing World War II. It's an insane pace.
I just remember E-Rad IW, Big P was insane. Just running at
you. Also, hold on. We also got to acknowledge.
Like Big P can play fast.
Six
He's
years
a good
ago.
Player. He's got talent to play fast.
Either way, it was 6 years ago, and it was 4 years removed from the league. Like, a lot has changed. Even if we ignore the game, ignore the speed, like, he's still 6 years later in his career than then. So it's
I'm not even blaming Big P here. I'm more so saying that, like, the dynamic, again, like, you guys are talking about the dynamic with their subs. Their dynamic with their ARs does not work either. Like, Big P could easily be a main, and they could have picked up a faster AR, or they could have picked up a faster AR and kept fucking Lamar.
I mean,
it was just a terrible move. Terrible change.
This is what we talked about when they made the team. Like, yeah, we like all the players. It's just, you know, when you look at them on paper, you don't know if the team comp is going to work, like the composition of it. But we'll see what happens.
This is a G2. This is a. They made some changes in the last offseason. It's clearly not enough. They need to 100% clean house and stop picking up players that have played for this org in past iterations that have not worked. They need to start over clean and build around Linz. Obviously, he's having kind of a slump in the middle of his rookie year, and hopefully he can figure out the end of it. But
I wouldn't even lock to Linz. I would say just rebuild. If Linz is the best you can do, you start there. But I would rather... I mean, if you can upgrade, you upgrade. That's just the reality. You always pack
a punch. Where's the upgrade going to come from?
I think Ben is being a standy hater right now because he said, don't pick up people that have played for this organization before. That is only targeted at one player on this roster.
That's Lamar,
it's
too.
It's only one player on this roster. That is targeted
that's Lamar,
on two
too.
Oh, yeah, Rocker, he was on Rocker, too.
Let's move on. I want to move on to some clips here. We do got Flames here. And Flames, you had some insane fucking highlights for your debut, bro. One of them being a 1v3. Here, you kill a guy dark.
God, you that timing, dude.
Push the guy here, Tractor, and then right here, Big P decides to chow, and he ends up getting taken down here. You slide this corner, find another one. That is a 1v3 from you, Flames. Now, Flames, I'm going to rewind it back. What was going through your mind right here, play-by-play, in the moment?
All right, so it doesn't show it, but I had Lamar weak. And then Eli killed Justice. I don't know why he ran at me, to be honest. Like,
20 seconds
actually,
left.
They actually just all scammed. Yeah, I mean, that was just like a KD thing, I think. Because I don't know why he ran at me. And then I had Lamar weak, but I don't know why he's not, like, looking through the tractor. Because, like, I literally can't wallbang him through this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just all, like, misplayed it.
And then even right here, Flames, now, you bust this door open, right? Boom, you bust this open. Big P had to have heard that, right?
No, yeah, I mean, he probably thought, like, I was going to plant the bomb. He knew he could see the cross, so I just knew, like, I knew he was holding me in from there, so once I banged the door, I was going to run at him. But I knew he was here the whole time.
I don't know, after you kill Lamar, and then you run towards Ice Cream, like, Lamar's probably calling out, you bust open a door. I don't know, I feel like in that situation, you run. Just run. Just get out of there. Because you could just, like, Flames, you were hustling, bro. Like, you weren't even, it didn't even look like you were going anywhere near the, you weren't even playing for the bomb. But I agree, like, bro, if you're tagged up in your one shot, like, Lamar needs to continue to hold that. And Big P should have kept looking over him. I don't know why.
The timing on him to cross is fucking
crazy. Why did Big P turn
that? Not even that, though.
He thought, like, he popped fucking overdrive.
Exactly. Dude, the timing on the clock and just 100%. The movement, like, this made no sense. And even then, after you bust the door down, I'm out, bro.
I
would have
been out,
too.
I would have been out. Like,
what?
Pierce thought he was about to get shot in the back in a half second. And he's going to run through dark, sprint through court, and shoot him in the back.
And your Ice Cream door, you are not planning that bomb, bro.
Yeah, it's not like you're in Ice Cream running out of Ice Cream, too. Like, you're running, like, towards Ice Cream. Like, that's why I'm just like, I don't know. Very, very weird decision-making there from the Minnesota Rocker. And then we go to the next. Then you got another 1v3. Actually, let's show Fame's little two-piece here. I had this written down. Fame went big here. He makes a play onto Big P, gets his first kill to gain, and Standy, he tries to hold this lane down, and Fame, just with the good reads, good awareness from Fame to recognize that Standy could have pushed up and been on that head glitch. And, of course, Lamar, he tries to make a play here, and he ends up getting shot in the side there by Flames. Down goes Lamar. And then we go into the 2-2 round. Another little wallbang spot for you. I think Estro, I feel like every player, how many players do we see wallbang here, but just not get kills? Estriel does it with ease. He just shreds through there and just takes him down really, really easily. They end up getting the numbers here and just kind of scroll.
What were the comms like when he got that blood? Like, Jade, like, did you guys see him at all? Was there, like, a call, or did he just randomly wallbang it?
Man, that was random, bro.
Dude, I'll be honest. I don't even know. I didn't even know he got this kill in the moment. Like, I don't even know, to be honest. Nah, I had no clue where he got the kill.
One's in DVD, dead.
Yeah, it was it was honestly something like that. Like, I don't even know, bro.
And then right here,
we won.
Big P's able to get one and get out. And then Stanley finds another one. It's a 2v3. Ezreal finds Lamar. I don't know why Lamar ran B-Domner. Ezreal finds one onto Lamar. And then it's a 2v2 situation. Ezreal catches Stanley tripping. Bro, Minnesota, we're really getting caught out, bro. I feel like they were like blacked out. Am I the only one who feels like these guys are blacked out?
No, they were like running away from gunfight.
Well, they're like running. Why did they keep trying to run from? Where are they running? Yeah. Where did they go? Just hold it, like, bro. I don't know, bro. And it obviously, LAG, they take full advantage here. Big P tries to make a play. Kudos to Big P for not snaking here, because he could have most definitely. I was ready. The whistle was ready, guys. The red card was ready to be thrown, and Big P, you know him. He's an honorable man. He stays down, no snakes there. And then we go into the 3-3 round, and this is just the other 1v3 from Flames. And again, this is a 3-3 round. Like, this is a swing round. Very, very important round here. Bomb goes down for LAG. Ezreal puts some shots down, can't finish the kill. He ends up getting taken down there by Lamar. Fame goes down. It's Flames left at a 1v3 situation. Slides in, finds one. Uses the pistol, runs out of ammo, but quickly switches, and then he reads the pressure behind him. Lamar loses him.
Blacked out.
And Flames, of course, not scared of the challenge, finds the 1v3. Right. So, Sam, you start. What the fuck?
Dude, first of all, Flames, holy shit. Unbelievable pair of 1v3s you got here, brother.
Yeah, good, great play,
fucking
bro.
Jesus, dude. The timing on you to cross for Pierce on the first 1v3 and then him a millimeter off the defuse on the second one is so hell. And then I don't know what the fuck Lamar's looking at, bro.
Your read there.
They call that guy the Iceman?
Jay, your read there to get that two-piece and run forward instead of back inside, like, for safety was actually absurd, because most people are probably going to get that kill and, like, dip back in a freezer, because you're, like, you don't want to get, like, caught out, like, in the open on the bomb site, but you probably read that guy, like, chasing you.
That was disgusting. Yeah. Why do people to check, he say, talk about Lamar? I mean, guys, he's been getting pooped out. I feel like we've been... Right, have we not been
out. Really blacked out. Blacked out.
Lamar's blacked slumping out. Right now. He's got to step up.
He's slumping. Big P slumping. Standy slumping. Linz has been slumping. Actually... No. All of them. Bro, what do you want us to say? I don't know what you want us to say.
I know what to say, Tom.
They won one respawn.
And why is Stady taking this fight in the room? Like, just sit outside and go to
the
war.
Lamar was the global warming man today.
That is actually a good point. Why is he in? Like, all he has to do is just sit on the wall.
If he sits at the door. That's
what CDO hater said.
He has to peek the door. You can, like, have him one-shot wallbang him, and you still have time to play the kill. With the guy pinching him. But if you go in there and take an ISO'd gunfight, granted, yeah, he shit on y'all. Like, that's not even, I don't know.
They didn't get the first blood here. They had no idea you were playing this off angle here. And then, boom, you're out. Let's just get
He creaked the door, bro. They know he's in here.
Apparently not. They blacked out. They just keep blacking out.
I'm talking about the 1v3, not that round. But, yeah.
I thought they knew he was in there, too, again, for a second. I was like, bro, they're just blacking out. Flames, any... Who does LAG play next?
Play Boston tomorrow.
Oh, you guys play Boston tomorrow. Flames, how you feeling going into that match?
Excited. Feeling to win one. Trying to do it twice now.
Why is that one a banger, Ben?
Because if they win this one, then they got one of the remaining two games, and they can make winner's bracket. Like,
I was going to say, this is another match where it's not uncharted territory. You've played, like, I think this entire team, basically, in Challengers.
Bro, still playing in Challengers. That's insane.
Yeah,
played three of them.
Yeah, exactly. So
you snapped so hard right there. The game lagged, and the streak comes down. Call it right away. This guy's running for his life. There he goes. 3v2. I mean, this was a flawless last round from you guys as well. Very flawless. Another big round here from Flames. How much you end off with here? 13, I think? Or 10? What did you have?
Yeah, 13.
13 bomb for an opening day here. Phenomenal work from Flames. Guys, anything you want to ask Flames on the S&D or any questions for him before we move on to the next one?
Just like a confidence thing, bro. Like, we see a lot of, like, rookie debuts this year, last year, just the recent, like, how many challenger players come up. Like, the confidence that I saw you playing with today was commendable, bro. I just want to say
I appreciate it.
You see a lot of people come into the league and, like, kind of shit themselves a little bit in their first series, but, like, you could tell there's some people that, especially in search, because that's, like, where you got to be the most confident in what you're doing, every decision. Like, bro, back-to-back 1v3s, like, that's commendable work.
Well, he, throw some respect. He said it. He was basically playing people he's been playing against, right?
Yeah.
That's the attitude, bro.
Like, he's coming in expecting to win. That's just how it is.
If he was shitting on him down there, he's going to be shitting on him up here, too.
Looking at the standings, too, you guys are, what, in seventh place now? LAG's in seventh?
I have no clue. I think we were in seventh. I think going into this week, we were, like, ninth or something. But I think with the win, yeah. But, like, that's another thing, too. Just got to, like, every match actually matters. At plus 10, super important. So, like, tomorrow's just as big as today.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think that's what I was talking to you, Tom, today. 6 through 10 is all 10 points, yep. within 10 points.
Yeah, yeah, we were talking about it today on the watch party, which is crazy, bro. I mean, the race is, like, right there. It's why, bro. It's why, like, some of these mid-season changes are so important.
The only team that's potentially out of it, like, with a lot to get up is Boston. Boston's got to get going this stage because they're 30 off of everybody that's in, like, ninth right now. So if they can't make that deficit up, like, they are going to have to legitimately win Major 4 in order to have any kind of real chance.
I agree. I don't have much on the control. I don't know if there's anything you guys want to talk about from the control, but... Flames, was there anything in the control that you guys felt like you could have done better? Do you guys feel like you played the map pretty good? I mean, were there any
We should have 3-0'd. I scammed the third round super bad. I just did some bullshit, to be honest. I scammed so bad.
The third round?
1-3-0. Yeah.
You want to watch it? You want to watch back your mistake?
Yeah, if you want to pull it up. I mean, I knew in the moment I threw, when we watched it back, I knew I threw. Like, I owned up to throwing it.
Mm-hmm. You remember the situation,
I think it's at the end, right?
Like, it was an 18v9 or something, and I thought we were missing one, and I threw like a wide body shoulder, bro. And I think Lamar killed me like Firebalk, and then it just gave him the opening just to like get map control and get into mail. So like I absolutely threw my life away.
So you're saying like around here when you're like mid map?
It's like 18v9. I think it's like it's a couple ticks forward if you want to go.
18v9. There you go. 18v9.
Right here, like it's around here, I think. Yeah, it's around here.
Okay, so you're in red right now.
Yeah,
fine
I'd
one,
like...
Fine, two.
I think it's... Yeah, it's
oh, Lamar runs here. Backwards. He goes top. Oh, okay, so he goes Balk here.
Yeah, you'll see, like, I just throw like this, and then it just opens up the whole map for them.
Yeah, I think you're dragging it, bro. It wasn't that big. It wasn't that bad. I see what you're saying, though.
I feel like it was, because, like,
I see what you're saying.
In middle, but, like, if I never die, I'm there with him. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it kind of just led him to getting ISO'd.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. It definitely opened up the map a little bit because they got an entry. And then they spawned close, so they used their numbers and kind of funneled you guys here. You did get zapped, though. It's the FCW, bro. I'd be trying to tell Sam, but you don't want to listen to me. But anything else, Flame, that happened that you guys talked about? Or Flames? Anything else that you guys talked about here?
Nah. I mean, the map was, like, pretty clean, to be honest. It was just that one thing, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it was a clean map for sure. I was just showing how you guys won the offense at the end. But good map, and congrats on a 3-0. And I really appreciate you coming on, Flames. Thank you so much. Thank you for hopping in.
No problem. I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, of course, man. No problem.
Look at these standings. Are Thieves online warriors?
They might be.
They got no points at majors, but 90 points online.
We've only had two events, though, so let's see what happens in Major 3.
That's four series worth of points, though.
We were going to do a bracket today. We could save it for another show. We did have a guest on.
I think we should save it.
Because this might take a while. But we do want to do... So what it is, it's basically... I could kind of show you guys, but basically it gives
Chandler's
us two teams.
Chandler's got to update it anyway.
Yeah, he could probably update it and make it better. It'd be cool to get the pictures of the teams, like who they actually are, because we have a document here. But
I got Rise on that.
Mm-mm. You got Rise on this? Look, they're all spamming do it. They want to do it.
Yeah, I got Rise on that one.
Wait, who was on Rise BO3?
Me, Danny, Nick, and Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, how long have we been going? You guys want to do it now or you want to do it another time, bro? I'm down to do it another time, honestly. I know everybody wants to say do it now, but...
I say either we speed run it or we do it another time.
Nah, this isn't a speed run.
This is not a speed run situation. That's why
I'm gonna save it for like a stinker match day, to be honest.
That's what it was supposed to be today. But today was actually the first series was hella good, and in the second series, Flames had an absolute debut masterclass. So we had a lot, you know what I'm saying? But guys, we will definitely do it. We'll do it another time for sure. We don't want to speed run it. It would be nice to like actually talk about this. It would ruin it. I feel like it would ruin it. So.
Chandler's also missing a team from one of these seasons that he'll have to add.
Yeah, Chandler also said
he knows.
Make some updates. Yeah, spam the L's, throw the tomatoes. Throw the fucking tomatoes.
Well, He's got some interesting World War II teams.
And then let's take a look here at the matches for tomorrow. So who plays first tomorrow? Let me pull it up real quick. Go over here to the college.
We do.
LAG Boston.
Okay, phenomenal. So we got LAG Boston coming up first. Who you guys have? LAG Boston. I'm going to go first. I'm going to go LAG as of what I saw today. Not just because Flames is here, but I feel like I have to.
Nah, y'all are good. I'm going to let y'all do this. I'm going to bounce so
yeah,
y'all
good,
can
bro.
Like finish up the
thank
show.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all having me, and have it going.
Yeah, thank you for hopping on, Flames. Later, brother.
Not a problem, bro. See ya.
Later. Everybody show Flames some love, man. Get some W's in the chat. Get some lames in the chat. Make some noise. Hey, he was a great – hey, bro, for a rookie, a debut, it's impressive, man. Good interview as well.
That's what we're looking for,
debut, bro. Yeah, it was also just a good interview.
So tomorrow might be some stinkers.
Potential.
Shit, man.
We might be able to
do it. Yeah, this is clear cut, to me at least.
Well, I got LAG, Toronto, LA Thieves. That's how I'm going.
Yeah, same.
I got that, except I got Boston for a series instead of LAG.
Really? Okay.
Why?
Why? Because I'm just expecting Boston to come out and get a W. I think they're due, and I think they got a lot of pressure.
Weren't you roasting them? Like, you wanted Doug on to, like...
Yeah.
No, they
I think Boston got this.
I will say, though, Pat, Beans can shoot, man. I actually think Beans is pretty good.
The problem with this team is it's not that they're bad. They just... They have no ice at all.
Yeah, it's not very icy right now. Maybe they can find some ice along the way.
The thing is, like, bro, we've been gassing up Thieves, but Boston, like, all I'm saying is this is, like, Boston has in both these series a split, taking two teams to, like, game five. I think, like, they have the ability to kind of grind these series. Just want to see them close. They couldn't do it against Miami. They couldn't do it against Minnesota. I think it's LAG. They are going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to predict? I mean, those are my predictions. Sam, Chris, you want to give? Yeah, we all have the same shit. We all have the same.
I'm gonna break my streak, and I'm going to actually go with LAG. So I'm.
Oh, never mind. They lost.
All right, yo,
no bad juju this time.
Wait. Are you actually going with LAG?
Yes.
I might need to go Boston now, bro. I might.
You guys are trolling.
I might actually have to. No, I'm like that though. Like, I believe in shit like that.
The curse has been broken.
The dynasty has been cemented.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going Boston. I got Boston, Toronto, Thieves.
You got Boston now?
Easy Mac. Yeah, I got Boston, Toronto.
Honestly, I got Boston now too because you just said that.
You guys
yo.
Are trolling.
That changed my change on Boston because you just said that.
Bro. All right, that's 100%,
fine.
100%. That's insane. I'm riding with the curse, Chris. I'm with you.
Thank God.
Nah, bro, change that up. Change that up.
That's actually insane.
I got to change that up for sure. Make sure Breaking Point gets that one for their graphic. All right.
LAG lose tomorrow, I'm never picking them for a prediction.
LAG lose again, I might actually never predict the series ever.
Hey, Benjay, why don't you put us out, Benjay? Why don't you put us out, hey, Ben?
You
fucking animal. Jeez. Hey, guys, I appreciate everybody who joined up today. There was a couple stream crashes before the show today, so when I went live, there was no noty. I was offline for like an hour or two, and then when I went live, nobody got a notification. So if you're in here right now, I fucking appreciate you guys. We got like over 5,000 people in here. I thank you guys very much for joining up. I'm sure you guys came from social or just...
Tom, what did the supervisor say?
The supervisor said that it's a problem coming from the street, Pat. The wires in the street. So they have to... the problem is regular technicians can't go up on the pole in the street. They have a different... what's it called? They have a different team for that. They have different people for that.
Oh.
And the only way you'll get them up there on the ladders, up on the wires, is if they have actual data and proof that there's something wrong up there, which they do. That's
they
why,
have that now?
That's why the supervisor came today, to come just take a look and, like, you know, write everything down and bada bing, bada boom. Benjay, step it up to the plate. Look at this guy go. He said, yeah, we're buying him another mat. I told him we're going to buy him another mat. Sit down. I'm not even impressed anymore. Sit down. Benjay, we're getting you a new mat.
We gotta do the pre-order on that cool mat.
Yeah, now people are getting free channel points. They're getting free channel points here. They're going crazy. We gotta get this guy to.
We're getting a new mat, and I'll be able to put like break on it. We can fuck around with a lot. It's on pre-order, and I think it starts shipping next month. So
yeah, Pat, I was talking to the supervisor today, and I asked him if there's any way I can get fiber. And he was making it sound like it's impossible, but then Benjay over here, technician Benjay, was telling me that we could actually fucking, I could get it. Like, that's not true. You could do
That's not at all what I, bro, why am I being gaslit on this fucking episode today?
You didn't say
that's
that?
That's not
what
at all
say?
What I said.
What did
bro,
you say?
Bro, you said the technician said it's impossible. I'm like, theoretically, like, you could wire the building. It's just going to take time and people. But I think the problem is that there's no fiber like on this. There's no fiber network for you to tap into on the street for them to like do shit. And by the way, on the note of me getting fucking gaslit, I want to wrap it up with a little bit of a fucking clip review. I'm putting this in your chat, Tom. What? Let's take a look at this fucking clip and react to it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What, bro?
Oh my God, Ben.
H Gaslight in 4K. Bro, don't watch it back on the show. It already happened, bro. It already happened, bro. Go watch
this guy's revisionist. Yeah. It never happened, man. Tom, he's close this out, baby.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you watch it on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/theflank to check out all the audio sites around. Go follow @theflank on Twitter. Gert's doing a phenomenal job running socials as usual. Huge shout out to SteelSeries once again. Take care. Brush your hair, and we'll see you guys next time on another episode of The Flank. Take it easy.
Peace.
You gaslit, Ben.